You go out to war against your enemy. And the son of Hashem and Hashem will deliver him over into your hands. Yishavisa Shivya. He will take its captives. Chaim HaKadosh tells the Kisei Tzidam Lacham Aloivecha really doesn't have a shaychus over here. Because Kisei Tzidam Lacham is when you're first going out to war. This Ma'is of the Yifas Torah really takes place towards the end of the war when you're victorious and you're taking the captives. So then you have the Inyan of Yifas Torah. But what does it got to do with the Kisei Tzidam Lacham Aloivecha? It would have been enough to say, and it's understood on its own that you took them captive in war. But what is this kisei tzelam b'lchama aloivecha? You'll go out to b'lchama on against your enemies and Hashem will place them in your hand. Why was that necessary? Also, why was it necessary to say aloivecha? Right? If we go out to b'lchama, it's a double barer that it's against an enemy. Why did it have to say aloivecha? So Chaim HaKadosh says that in this parish, the Torah is being matter in Isser, being matter Rishiks, being matter the Isser Yifas Tayyar. During the Muhammad's Yadua, a person finds himself in a matzav of the Sayyim, the Yitzhahara. He's not in total control over his Yitzhahara, and he's faced with an Isayyim. So the Torah gave him the Heter of Yifas Tayyar. There's also other Heterim during Muhammad, the Marshal Kadla the Chazeri. If a fellow needs to eat and he can't find anything kosher, so it's mutter. To eat chazer and other yisurim as well. So Mulcham is not a regular matzav. Mulcham is a matzav where there is an inyan of being matar asurim. So the Torah went into the das of a person and it's telling us that maybe, a person when he goes out to war, he really doesn't have kavana on the war. It's a matzav of prekazil where there's heterim for yisurim, right? So for that, the Torah tells us over here, it warns us, Kisei Tzelam Alchama Aloivecha. The Yetziah has to be Latachlis of waging a war of your enemy. And these are the enemies of Hashem, and you have to wage a war against them. If you do it for that Tachlis, to wage the war against the enemies of Hashem and the enemies of Klal Yisrael, then Unusane Hashem Alekecha Yodecha, then Hashem promises He will deliver them in your hands. The Klal Hengat Hashem Eilat. But if, on the other hand, you're going with the intention that the Muhammad is like a matzav efkerus, the Muhammad is an opportunity to be over on Isurim, and it's a heter. There's a heter to do it. So then, then Hashem will not place him into your hands. That's why the Torah stresses over here, number one, kisei tzelam b'lchamah, you have to go out to war, and that's them out to war. It has to be the kavona alivech against your enemy, not to be nichnas into a matzav of war, just for the Efkerish Shabbai. And it's telling us, look at the instructions, what kavanas you have to go out to with the war, not chas v'sholem for Efkerus, but for Melchama Aloivecha, which are the Eivei Hashem. So he stayed in Erech Chaim HaKadosh. So we do the Chofetz Chaim. What the Chofetz Chaim says, that the worst enemy that we have is the Satan. Especially now, it comes the Yemei HaDin, and the Satan wants to be Mekatrig against Klal Yisrael. So for that, Dr. Chofetz Chaim, the Torah is telling us over here, you have to be proactive against the Satan. You can't just be laid back and expect things to happen on their own. Kisei tzeilam olcham aloivecha. You have to go out to active war against them, to be mechazik in Torah, and Tfila, and Chesed, Mais and Tavim in general. Kisei tzeilam olcham aloivecha. If you will be proactive to wage a war against the Satan, then Hashem promises in the son of Hashem olikech biyodecha. Sometimes we're lazy. But sometimes, Pashit, the anxiousness, the pachad of the matzav, it sort of like freezes us and we think that we're helpless and we can't do anything about it. Well, Hepach, the Torah is telling us over here, kisei tzelam olcham aloivecha, you have to be proactive, you have to do things actively. And as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, even the slightest improvement in Avodah is a giant step in getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you're already not in the same place that you were before, you're closer to Hashem. Yeah, proactive means you have to be do it. I mean, Surah Miraz also, and you have to be Pirish from Yisurim, you have to make Siyagim. That's also being proactive. you know, being mechazik yourself like Abi Yisurim. So the Sefer Shmi V'Shem Avoisai brought down in the Talal Le'Yiris. He's Medayik, says Kiseitze L'Amulchoma Aloivecha. It doesn't say Kiseitze Lihilochem. You're going to go out to wage war against your enemy. It says Kiseitze L'Amulchoma. You're going out to war. Not you're going out to wage war. Why? Because by us, by Yid, he has to realize he's not the one that's waging the battle. Hashem is waging the battle, and his whole success, and the Chaim in Mavis is totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you know that you're only going out to war, L'Amulcham, and you're not the Loichem, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's Loichem for you, then you'll talk and be Matzliach. If it would have said, Kiseitze Lihilochem, you're going to go out to wage the act of war, that means I'm the one that's doing this. Koichi V'yaitzim Yodi. A person has to realize, Loi b'chel v'loi b'koyach. It's not with koyach, it's not with power. Kiyim b'ruchi amar Hashem tzavakos. That means we have to have Hashem on our side. Ki seitzei l'amulchama, you're only going out to war. Who's waging the war? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not lihi lochem. Not that you're waging the war, you're just going out to war, and the siyata d'shmaya comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think I've said over this ma'aser in the past. I heard this ma'aser from Shaftel Newberg as a chayna l'bracha. He was out collecting money for the Nefer, Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, many years ago. He was out on the West Coast, and he came to a rather wealthy balabas. This balabas was a Baal Tshuva who originally, he went to school in West Point, right over here. He was studying to be a military officer. He wanted to make a life out of the military. So one of the courses that they took was great military victories of the 20th century. He was sure that number one on the list would be the victory of the Six-Day War. Lightning victory, Manishen Kamai was like unheard of. Most of you may don't remember it, but I remember it. You know, I was a little kid then, but it was unbelievable. It was like Mamish Nishayek. Now, depending on how you look at it, you know, the Satmar Rebbe said it was Kaychas Atomet. But most of the Veld said it was Mamish Nisim and Nefloys. Anyway, so he thought that would be number one on the list. The professor comes in, and first he discusses World War II. Okay, so the guy said, World War II was a great victory. It was a major thing, a turning point in the world. Then he goes to World War I. Okay, I can understand that also. Then he starts going to all kinds of wars, military strategies in this war and that war. That Mamish had no shaykhs to the Six-Day War. And he's already being pumped up. This guy's an anti-Semit, he's an anti-Semite. You know, why is he not mentioning the Israeli victory? What kind of business is this? You know? But he didn't want to say anything. He was scared it would affect his mark. Okay. He went through the entire period, the entire semester. And at the end, when they get their marks, they have a chance to go in personally, privately, to speak to the professor and make their comments and ha'aris. So when it was his turn, he said, you know, professor, he says, I guess it was a military guy. He was an officer. He said, I was sure that at this course, the first war that we're going to be discussing is the Israeli Six-Day War. It was a lightning victory. It was unbelievable, you know. I kept on giving it time, but we didn't discuss it at all. How in the world did you discuss all of these remote wars that nobody ever heard of? And you skipped over the Israeli war. I would think that perhaps it's something anti-Jewish. So the officer looked at him and he murmured in the eye and he said, listen, the purpose of this course is to take practical military advice from different battles. He says the Israeli victory in 1967 was a heavenly victory. There's no way in the world that we could take practical military advice. That battle was waged in the heavens. And from that, we can't take practice. This is a guy talking. So, he was spoiled that a guy had a Zamin HaSoget. You know, that Adarabba was because of the covet of Shemayim that he felt we can't take any practical advice from that. But that's what the Torah is telling us over here. It's Kiseitze L'Amulchama. You're going out to a matzav of war. It's not Kiseitze L'Hilachem. Ki Yi'ela Ish Ben Soirer U'Moirer. If a person will have a deviant son, one that's rebellious, Einenu Shemei V'Koylovu V'Koylimoi, He doesn't listen to the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Yisroisay, and they will give him Teichachev, lo Yishmaleh, and they have to bring him to Bezin, and Bezin gives Malkus. So he's stating Rashi. So he says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf ein aleph amid aleph. The Gemara says, ben seiru meira loy hoya v'loy osid liyash. A ben seiru meira never was, and it never will be. So why was it written in the Torah, droish v'kabel schar? For you to darshan, and for you to get schar. The Gemara says there's all kinds of conditions for this to happen. The father and the mother have to have the same voice. Either the mother has to have a manly voice, or the father has to have a high-pitched voice. They have to have an equal voice, and they have to look alike, and they have to eat a certain amount of meat with wine. It's not a very low-scale thing to happen. It's impossible. Why did Torah write it? Drosh v'kabel schar. So all the Sfarim, we saw Salanta with other Sfarim, asked the question, if you were to learn the Torah for thousands of years, you would never be able to cover Kol HaTorah Kulu in its full depth, but that was it. You always have what to be v'kabel schar for. So here the Torah has to give me a parasha that's not negeya b'chlal. It's not negeya l'hoi v'loi nivra. Why? Drosh v'kabel schar. There's not enough parashas in the Torah to darshan that are negei lemaisa. Elamai over here, it's not negei, it's never going to happen, never did happen. And we need that because it drives for Kabbal Schar. So the Rosh Yeshiva of Slavodka, Ramosha Mordecha Epstein, is that sound? He said upshot as follows. Drives for Kabbal Schar over here does not mean darshan and be Makabbal Schar for Talmud Torah. For Talmud Torah, plenty of things in the Torah to be mekabel schar for. Drosh mekabel schar means be mekabel schar that your life will be a changed life if you learn through this parasha. Because even though be'etzem, the actual ben seiru meiru, never happened and never will happen, but l'maisa, the lessons of that are applicable in regular life. If you allow a child to be a bal taiva, if you give nach all the taivas of the child, he's going to become a monster. He might not be a Ben Sayyid Ramayr because you don't have the conditions of Ben Sayyid Ramayr. But he's going to be a plague to society. Look at what's happening in America today. America was a wonderful country, the best country in the world, mamish. It had values and all things with freedoms and liberty. It was based on solid foundations. And what's happening? Because of Taiva, because of Yetzer Hara, everything is Hefker. No laws, they want to rip up the Constitution. Liberals want to live, everything is free. Everything is hefkeristic. This is the poil yaitzeh of giving into taiva and not having discipline and not living a structured moral life. That's drosh v'kabel schar. Meidach gisa, look at the life of a frumi yid. The beauty of the life of a frumi yid. He goes to the Beis Medrash, Alein Torah. He davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the family life is a tzniyistic family life with discipline. There's achdus in the family, a Shabbos table, a yontif suda, a Yiddish community with all of its chasodim. That's the drosh v'kabel schar. That's the biggest schar that we get. And that's why it says over here, it says in the Torah, the chol Yisrael yishmu v'yirov. U'b'yarta harov v'kirbecha. And so the Torah is talking about something that's not negeya. No, the Torah is talking about something that's very much negeya. It's very much negeya in our life. If you discipline your child and you keep him away from taiva, that goof is the biggest beer of ra mikir becha. And the chol yisrael yishmu v'yiro, we have to learn from this parish of Egla this parish of Menseru Meirah. You have to learn from over here how to apply this to our life practically. So drosh v'kabel schar is up to Moshe Mordechai. Is not the schar for Talmud Torah. There's plenty of that in the Torah itself. But the schar that we get in the way we lead our lives are different lives, legamri. Thus is the lekabel schar. Ki sivne bayis chodesh. When you build a new house, you should make a fence around your God. Do not place blood and sakana in your house. Because one that is the faller will fall from it if you don't have a makir. So Chazal say, Shiluach HaKen comes before this. Why is everything nismach? Why is one nismach to the other? Im kiyamta mitzvah shiluach hakein, if you mekayim the mitzvah shiluach hakein, soifek livnas bayis chadash, you're going to build a new house, umekayim mitzvah smakim. Shemitzvah gereres mitzvah. Through that, v'sagia l'karen v'sodet, right afterwards it says, l'sizra karmel chokalai, l'sakra shorba chamar yagda. You're going to have a field, you'll be able to even kind those things. After that, it says the Yisra Shatnes, Ulub Godim Noem, Lekach Nisrachu Parshi Yaseilu. First, it says, Le Sizra Kamra Kokalayim, Le Sachar Shor Kamar Yagdov, Le Silver Shatnes. Those are the smichis of the Parshiyos after the Mitzvah Shiluach came. So, Soha Horeb, Lechaira, if Mitzvah Gereris Mitzvah, so why over here, B'dafki, is it that you're going to have a bias, and you're going to have a kerem, and you're going to have a nice beged? I would think Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah is, if you're Mekayim Shiluach again, you'll be zoiche to a mitzvah of tzitzis, you'll be zoiche. Why is it mentioned the hanoz of Olam Hazeh, toich hadvarim of the mitzvah? Right? If you do Shiluach again, you'll be zoiche to a house. And with that house, you'll be zoiche to a mitzvah. You'll be zoiche to a kerem. And with that kerem, you'll be zoiche to a mitzvah. You'll be zoiche to clothing. Like, why does it stick the clothing in? Why does it stick the house in the middle? What does that make you? So I saw a very nice pshat brought down in the Sefer L'Sitcha Elyon. If B'davka says it over here, because by Shiluach HaKein, it says, L'man Yitav Loch V'harachta Yomim. It should be good for you, and you'll have Arichas Yomim. Chazal Darsh in the Medrash HaGodeh, L'man Yitav Loch B'Olam Hazeh, V'harachta Yomim B'Olam Shekuloi Orach. So it comes out that the schar for Shiluach HaKein is good for the Olam Hazeh and the Olam Hazeh. But what kind of an Olam Hazeh are we talking about over here? Sitting on the beach and vacationing with Taiv and Naim. The best Olam Hazeh is if it's used as a keli to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. So here the Torah tells us, you'll be zoichet to the Olam Hazeh, you'll be zoichet to the L'man Yitav Loch B'Olam Hazeh, and you will have the opportunity now to use that as a keli for Olam Haba. By his Kodosh with a Makir. Kerem, the mitzvahs of the Kerem. Begodim for the Kalayim. That's the best type of Olam Hazeh. And because it says they go hand in hand. This Olam Hazeh is used as a keli. That's the tachlis of Olam Hazeh. Hagoyin Reb Aaron Kreiser, that's all, said over in the name of his Rebbe, the Mashgiach in Baranovich, Hagoyin HaTzadik, we saw Yaakov Lubchansky, Zeichel Tzadik HaKadosh L'Rochim, his Kadosh. He said that his shmuzin used to be mamish molei v'godish with Torah, with a Ziskite. So he was once giving an example. He said like this. He says, take for example, if somebody would bring a cow, take a cow out of the pasture, and he would bring it to Marchavsky Street, the main street in Warsaw. Big buildings and museums and culminate shopping areas, with all these things. It's a place that was flowing with citizenship and it's flowing with humanity, and a lot of good things were there. And this cow comes to this main street. What's the cow looking for? It's not looking for the museum, it's not looking for shopping, it's not looking for grass. Where could I find grass? Grass, grass, grass. Cause, 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 cause. What are you doing? You're in the greatest street in all of Poland, the center of Poland, this wonderful street with wonderful opportunities, but the cow sees only one thing, grass, grass, and more grass. Says, a person, a human being, is sent down to this world with myriad opportunities, and what's he looking for? Gauze, food, more food, more panasa, more. So Yankov said, we have to adjust our look at Olam Hazeh. We have to make a cheshbon nefesh. What kind of people are we? Are we like that cow that he could be in the main street with all the opportunity and all he's looking for is grass? Or are we a people of a higher caliber that we realize that Olam Hazeh was meant for the purpose of transforming this into a keli for Olam Haba? So that's the lesson to be learned from over here. The Torah says, I'm giving you Olam Hazeh, but I'm giving you that opportunity to be able to transform it into Olam Haba. 2 weeks ago, my Einik Luch were here. We still had vacation. So we took him to the petting zoo on Maple Avenue. The petting zoo, very nice. Spent the day there. So we were going feeding the animals, going from one animal to the other and feeding them. Then we came to rams. There were two rams there, you know, with their horns. You might see the shofar, mamish, exact shofar that they sell in the store coming out. And one of my aunts put food, and they're butting heads, mamish, you know, fighting over the food. And then you hear the click of the shofars next to, you know, mamish, clicking into each other. So I was thinking to myself, that here you have dead cells. What's a shofar? It's dead cells that are given off, and it's used as a destructive force by the animal to hurt others. And what do we do with that shofar? That shofar, we take it, we transform it, we turn it into a davrish of kedusha. It's ma'ir klal yisrael during Elul Uri Yishena Mishnaschem. It's mekayim one of the helix the mitzvahs in of tkiya shofar that brings up our tefillas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the shofar brings us to a madrega where we're mamish standing lefnai v'lefnim. So from something that's mamish a chelik of a behemah, it's the most mundane thing which it uses to hurt the other animal, and we're able to transform that into our highest thing. And that's really a shtickel, a chelik of the Yom HaDin. I gave you a wonderful year. I gave you the kelim. I gave you the Olam Hazeh. I gave you life and health and parnasah. What did you do with it? That's a chelik of the tefillah on us on the Yom HaDin. We have to be able to produce and say, we were not able to do something with it. Zohar reis asher osu l'cho amolik baderech. Asher korcho baderech. He encountered you on the way. Zagoyin atzadik v'shloim v'harkavi was mashgiach in Grodno by Rishim and Shkob Zetzal. He said there were two avenues over here. Asher korcho. Number one, the etzem encounter that he came to wage war against you. But number two, it was baderech. It was on the way. What's the significance of baderech? Asher korcho, we understand. He went against you. He encountered you. He waged a war against you. But what is the significance of baderech? So, Dr. Shlaim HaRakavi, that Amalek realized that if he's going to let us settle in Eretz Yisrael first, and he's going to attack us then and wage a war against us then, when we reach Eretz Yisrael, we will have already reached our shleimus. And if we reach our shleimus, he's not going to be able to fight against us. See, Badafka came by Derech before we reached Eretz Yisrael, before we reached our shleimus, and that's when he attacked. So he did it with a cheshbon. It wasn't stam like by happenstance. He happened to fight against us then. He had a cheshbon. I don't want them to reach their shleimus. If they reach their shleimus, I don't stand a chance. And that's when Amalek attacks Klal Yisrael, before they reach their shleimus. You see in the Midbar, besides the first time when he attacked, before they went into Eretz Yisrael, by Yishma HaKnani Melech Arad, right before they entered Eretz Yisrael, he attacked again. Got dressed up like the Knani, and he attacked them. Same thing, before they reach Eretz Yisrael. That was also Baderech. You find that Haman, that attacked Klal Yisrael in the times of Mordechai v'Esther, that was also right before they built the Beis HaMikdash. Also, could be he sensed that the Beis HaMikdash was already started. Adrabah, Haman went, the Medrash says he went to argue against its building, and eventually Achashverosh had it shut down because of Vashti. But they were holding and building the Beis HaMikdash. So Haman saw if the Beis HaMikdash gets built, then that's when they reach their shleimus. I'm not going to stand a chance. He does get attacked before they reach their shleimus. That is baderech. Another time you find that is when did the Sar Shalesev attack Yaakov? When he was on his way back to Eretz Yisrael. When Yaakov Avinu finally came back, it says, Vayove Yaakov Sholing. Right? He came Sholing. That's when he reached his shleimus. The Sar Shalesev sensed that he's about to reach his shleimus. The Mela, he attacked Badavka then. That is the Asher Korcho Baderech. The Etzem encounter was a Taina. And Baderech, he wants to be Meinea you from your shleimus. And this is why we have a mitzvah to wipe him out. Because being that we have that Sakona from him, that Sakona, he wants to be Meinea our shleimus. We could never reach our full potential unless we know that Amalek is wiped out. May it be Bekar. A good Shabbos. Yeah.